that's any more upbeat, isn't it?
That was. That was a slight false start due to me being extremely tired and not really following what's going on.
You, the listening public, will have no idea. That was about the fifth take of hello. You wouldn't have thought that
it's
that
surprisingly
would take so
challenging.
Many takes. We're lucky we're film reviewers and not actors. If we can't afford, be able to say hello properly, that wouldn't bode well in Hollywood.
And lots of films and TV shows and plays don't have the word hello in them at all.
It's very true. As long as you pick apart... Sorry, the script's got hello in it. I can't do this.
Like, some actors won't do nudity. Some people just won't. I won't say hello. I have no time for it.
I can do a hi. Can't do a hello. That's my rules. This is Movie Banter, and I'm Paul Carenza.
I'm John Sands.
And this is a special on awards. It's awards season. It's a very exciting time of year. Is it?
It is exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
I am excited, yes. But also... knackered.
That's fair.
My excitement is muted somewhat by my appalling tiredness. But that's fine. But I'm still excited beneath the surface of this slightly haggard exterior.
That's fair enough. They can't see that. That's all right.
Well, that's very true. They can imagine it, though, I'm sure.
Trust me, he's haggard.
It's not good.
Now, this is a time of year. I sort of like this time of year because you've got, in cinema terms, because you get all the good films come out, really.
Very true.
The only problem with it is there's so many good films out. They're normally about three or four a week. And you think, can you not spread them out a bit and we'll have some in, like, September when all the really bad things come out?
I mean, presumably it's all done because Oscar nominators and, well, other award nominators have appallingly short memories.
Exactly.
Unless a film comes out in December, they just don't even remember it. And they can't, and they've never heard of it in their entire life.
Even, you know, I saw Changeling on a few lists and even go, well, that was a good month ago, wasn't it? God, I don't remember that one.
But that's when The Dark Knight came out, and that was a summer film.
Yeah.
So, but that's a bit of a wild card.
So, it's a bit frustrating for that. But, you know, it does mean you go to the multiplex and you will find some good films there at the minute. So,
very true. Although it also means for a lot of heavyweight viewing. Because I like my rubbish.
Yeah, you do like your tosh, don't you?
And it means the last few weeks I've seen nothing but things like The Reader, The Wrestler, Slumdog Millionaire. I thought, when's Fast and Furious coming out? That's what I want to know.
Well, I was thinking, you've got... there's The Reader, there's Valkyrie out next week, which I don't think is on any award list, actually.
No, but I think it is very good. It's not quite that level.
And also, what was the other one? Defiance.
Oh, yes.
It's Holocaust season. There's a lot of it about, because you don't get those sort of films in...
Yeah,
it's not a summer blockbuster,
is it?
You wouldn't do that, really. Has there ever been a summer blockbuster about the Second World War? I don't really know.
And Saving Private Ryan, was that possibly summer?
It might have been, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But again, that's more action, war... but very deep and good.
It's Spielberg. They wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Although Schindler's List was probably an award season release.
Yeah, I can't imagine that was a big summer.
You don't get big tentpole release Holocaust films,
Not often.
Which is also, without wanting to sound disrespectful, which it may come across, which is almost surprising, because you would have thought there's a big audience for that. I mean, they tend to do very well, because it's an idea that everyone knows about and can get behind and understands the story behind it. So you'd have thought there could be a big push for a sort of populist version of one, but no.
I read an article today in the Sunday Times, even though it's not Sunday, but it takes me 4 days to get through it.
It's a hefty beast.
It is, and it was an opinion piece by sort of an essayist, I suppose you call him, who was saying, the way a lot of films nowadays, as far as he's concerned, are doing revisionist versions of history.
Mm.
I think he particularly was talking actually about Loose Change, the documentary about 9/11. Yes. But saying that people are watching films and taking it as fact, which of course is, as publisher of the movie timeline, I'm going, there you go, exactly, so they shouldn't be.
Whereas he's publisher of Movie Mistakes, I'm going, no, they shouldn't.
Exactly,
you need to
right.
keep track
exactly.
of these
here's,
things.
Here's the, you know, the yin and the yang of the movie banter
exactly.
duo.
Very true.
He was getting very ranty, and he signed off this piece by saying that it's not long, he reckons, before we see a Holocaust denial film as all-out entertainment. Which I think may be pushing it a step too far.
I think that's pushing it.
I can't see that just yet.
No, I know, because it's not... Yeah, I mean, because for example, there's a big push by some people in favour of creationism or intelligent design, but there's a bigger push against it, and people say, no, it's ridiculous. And yet there's a film all about creationism and intelligent design which came out and did quite well, because there's a big audience for that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an enormous audience for Holocaust deniers.
I can't imagine there's much. No, and they're all mostly in prison, where they just watch whatever films are put on.
Very true.
In the canteen. Anyway,
they watch films in the canteen in prison.
I can't imagine they got a cinema, have they?
They did in the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, but
watch films.
Yeah, there's a screen put up somewhere in the canteen. I think you're fine, probably.
Was it?
I can't imagine they have their own.
Oh no, they probably have a dedicated
cinema,
screening room.
Yeah,
how they don't? Right, I'm cancelling my reservation immediately.
Exactly.
No crime for me.
Cineworld Strange Rays branch. Anyway. So we should probably get onto some award stuff. Really,
we should, because we're wittering already.
We've bantered on enough. So yeah, it's the Oscar shortlist is out and the BAFTA list is out. First of all, though, let's have a look at the Golden Globes thing. This was a couple of weeks ago. Quick look at some of the big winners there. Slumdog Millionaire, of course, took Best Film.
Yeah, which I still maintain it shouldn't have.
Well, I maintain it should have.
That's... No, not that it's bad. It's an extremely good film, but. I mean, look, because the other nominees were Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, or Revolutionary Road. Personally, I would rate The Reader above Slumdog Millionaire.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I enjoyed it. Well, not even enjoyed it more. I was more moved by it.
It was certainly more worthy, I guess.
Yes.
But, oh, interestingly, both fictitious stories.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so, but both, you know, believably told, and both very good films, anyway.
Yes, no, very true.
What else? There was Vicky Cristina Barcelona, the Woody Allen film. That was Best Film brackets musical or comedy, which of course,
which I quite like the Golden Globes doing that.
Yeah, it's quite
because it means that you can because you know Vicky Cristina Barcelona would never feature on the Best Film list anywhere, but it's still yet to see it. Not out over here, cursed Britain.
One day,
but yeah, it's worth featuring in its own category. Because
yes,
all films are worth featuring.
Give
like Happy Go Lucky,
but that's on the shortlist for that, isn't it? Best Film.
Yes, and that got plaudits across the board. Best Director was won by Danny Boyle, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yep.
And weird, despite saying it's not Best Film, Best Director, I can get behind more.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because it's an interesting style and well put together.
I think he did direct it.
But the film as a whole didn't move me as much as...
Right.
I think I will be by the...
Subject matter, I suppose, isn't
it? Yes.
Dictates that. Best Actor, Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler.
Which I think is richly deserved.
Absolutely deserved.
We will... Yeah. So you've seen The Wrestler this week?
Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
We've both seen and approve of very much.
Best Actress, Kate Winslet for Revolutionary Road.
Yes.
Which I've got a funny feeling she might have another one coming soon as well in this Golden Globes list. We'll see.
And checking down the list. Turns out... Oh, it's further down the list.
Oh, it's not further
down. Oh, what an anti-climax.
Best Actor, Colin Farrell for In Bruges.
Which, that's fair enough. I suppose he demonstrated a surprising...
Yeah, and it's also one of the best... Probably the best thing he's done, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
To all the other... You know, he's done a few turkeys.
I know James Franco was on the nominees list for Pineapple Express, which apparently was a bit of a surprise to people.
Right.
Not that... Because it's a good performance, but no one really thought it was up there. But after seeing him... Because he's in Milk as well.
Oh, yes.
Which,
okay.
Again, isn't out over here yet. This is the problem with award season, because America gets them right at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then Britain only gets them about a month plus later. And so we're still in that dead time. But yeah, seeing him in the trailer for Milk looked quite good, and he seems to be moving up the level in terms of serious films.
Was he in X-Men? Was that what was he?
He was in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, that's the film. I knew he was in one of them films.
One of them
lycra-ish films. Best Actress, Sally Hawkins, Happy Go Lucky. Again, haven't seen that, but I hear wonderful things, and I only haven't seen it because it wasn't on in many screens.
Yes,
you had to go up to London and find some little art house cinema, which is actually someone's living room. With a screen the size of a TV.
And of course, the problem with DVD rental services, sort of online things, are extremely good. But if you're quite keen to see certain films, it's a bit hit and miss.
Yeah,
it's on my list of things I want to watch, but it just hasn't turned up yet.
Of course, Best Supporting Actor, Heath Ledger.
Hurrah!
And Best Supporting Actress was indeed Kate Winslet again. She took away... a fine pair of
Golden
Globes. Golden
Globes. She did have a phenomenal pair of Golden Globes.
Ironically, for her role in The Reader. So yeah, anyway, should we move on to the BAFTAs now? Because we could go down that whole list of
very true. No, yeah, I think that covers the gist.
Nothing to do down the editors, but if you're interested, look online.
Yes, because also we'll probably cover them in the Oscars, among others, because it makes for
random
viewing.
More detail
with
that.
But we've got a lot to cover and limited time in which to do it.
So now BAFTAs, obviously the nominations are out, but the awards haven't been given out, so we can make our predictions. This is when it gets exciting, because we can test ourselves in a few weeks' time and see who was right.
Yes, or partake in the film-style revisionist history and record extra bits, go back, slot them into this podcast, and then we'll be right on every level.
We're going to record a umpteen number of podcasts.
That's true.
For every eventuality, every permutation and combination. We won't do that.
No, we won't.
Frankly
can't be bothered.
Couldn't get the sentence out, let alone the podcast. So BAFTAs, best film of the BAFTAs. Got five nominees: Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. Who are you picking?
Now, I'd like to say Frost Nixon, I think, just for the British angle or something.
Yeah.
But I get the feeling Slumdog Millionaire is going to win, but it shouldn't. I'd like to think I'm informed enough to know, because Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, I haven't seen yet.
Yes.
But I get a feeling for all that, and also how they've done in other reviews and awards and similar. And Milk, is an unusual edition. Well, not unusual edition for the best film, but it wasn't in the Golden Globes.
Yes.
At all. So that's come out slightly randomly.
It's true.
Personally, I'd like to say The Reader.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
That affected me a lot.
I'm going to stick with Slumdog Millionaire on that one.
Yeah, you would.
Because I thought it was a wonderful film and very different. And The Reader, I thought, while it was a very good film, didn't quite engage with me as much as Slumdog. So I'm going with that one. But time will tell.
Yes.
Outstanding British film. Now, the list here is Hunger, In Bruges, Mamma Mia, Man on Wire, or Slumdog Millionaire. Now, I should go for Slumdog Millionaire here again, given that I thought that for best film.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Hunger, simply because I... one of the writers. Ender Walsh, there he is on the list.
Wow.
Brother-in-law, potentially.
Wow, so, that's quite impressive.
Go on, Ender. Go on, Hunger.
Hang on, Steve McQueen is on that list.
Steve McQueen, yeah, he's the writer and director.
Oh, I see.
Turner Prize-winning artist, and probably if he knew he was going to embark in the film world straight away, he probably would have changed his name.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there are now two in the... Well, there's now one. In the film world.
Yes, and it's presumably easy to tell them apart because they're separated by generations.
So generally, if he's on a bike, he's not this one.
Yeah. I'm sure he can ride a bike.
Yeah,
he probably can.
I don't know.
See, it's weird because, Mamma Mia really shouldn't win. It's the most successful British film of all time at the moment, according to pure box office
results. It can't win, surely.
No, but I can understand why it's reached that level, but I don't think it should win. See, Man on Wire is another one on my rental list that I'm waiting to turn up, and it hasn't yet. I didn't actually realise that qualified as a British film.
Because that's about the Twin Towers tightrope.
Yeah, walking between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
See, Outstanding British Film, it's probably going to be Slumdog Millionaire, but if Slumdog Millionaire wins Best Picture, it shouldn't really also get Outstanding British Film. So I'm going to say In Bruges.
In Bruges,
yeah,
good film.
Just hazarding a guess.
Yeah, fair enough. But again, I'm surprised that's British because it's set in Belgium.
True, but it's all EU.
And Mamma Mia's set in Greece. They've got none of these right, have they? Slumdog Millionaire's set in India. Hunger's the only one set in the British Isles.
Well, India used to be part of
the
British Empire.
Well, yeah, I suppose
but,
so.
Yeah, that's tenuous, I know.
Best British Film doesn't mean best film set in Britain as well.
Yes.
I'm well aware of that.
And also, Man on Wire is set in America, which used to be part of the British Empire.
Still British, as far as I'm concerned.
Hunger was in Ireland, used to be part of the British Empire. So, we're in Bruges...
What are you saying? Have you taken an empire-based view of the world?
Well, yeah, then every film
we own all of it, then sure.
No, yeah. I'm saying used to be part. I'm not longing for the glory days, but I'm just saying used to be.
Either way, big pat on the back. Well done, us. We spawned all these countries.
Exactly, and we frankly set the groundwork for the world being in the state it is today.
Exactly.
So apologies for that, anyone overseas.
The next award's quite interesting because they only do it for the BAFTAs. It's the Carl Foreman Award, special achievement by a British director, writer or producer for their first feature film.
Yeah.
So it's quite specific, but it's also quite good because it gives someone a pat on the back saying, well done, you've done very well for your first time out.
Yeah,
now go and do better. You've got the producer of Man on Wire, you've got the producer of Mamma Mia, the writer of Son of Rambo, which was an interesting addition there. You've got Steve McQueen, director, writer of Hunger. And you've also got the producers of Time and the City, which is a documentary piece about Liverpool. So, yeah, I think I'm probably going to go for Hunger again there. Steve McQueen, director, writer.
See, I'm going to play the politic odd things, and I'm going to go for the writer of Son of Rambo.
Oh, so I was tempted by that one.
See,
yeah.
It did very well for... Yeah, a first film is an impressive achievement for a
it's
first
a good
film.
Movie. I did enjoy it. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, actually.
It's a good
but
film.
But I know extremely good things of it.
No, it's a very good film. I'll enjoy that one. Director, then. What do you reckon of this lot?
Well, we've got Changeling, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Changeling, Clint Eastwood, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, David Fincher, Frost Nixon, Ron Howard, The Reader, Stephen Daldry, and Slumdog Millionaire, Danny Boyle. See, now, The Changeling was good. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't necessarily say a directing award. Benjamin Button, again, I haven't seen the film yet, but I reckon David Fincher is capable of interesting things.
Yeah.
So could pull something out. Frost Nixon is probably going to be competent, but not amazing. As you like, as the reader, I'm going to go either Benjamin Button or Slumdog Millionaire. And I'm
right.
going to say Benjamin Button, because I seem to be a bit of an anti-Slumdog Millionaire push. And I'm going to stay on that front.
You're racist.
No, it's extremely good, but I would put others ahead of it.
I'm going to go for the Boyle. I'm going to go for Millionaire.
Because you're a one note man.
Well, I enjoyed it. I thought, there's no point me saying, oh, it's certainly the best film, but wasn't that well directed. So, no, I thought he was excellent. So I'm going to go for that one. We proved to show, actually, this time of year, as I say, it's award season, lots of good films out. Regardless of the whole awards thing, I did notice the other day in the cinema that actually, most of the last few films I've seen, the director behind them have been... You've got some cracking directors out there in a minute making films. You know, David Fincher's got Benjamin Button. Ron Howard's got Frost Nixon. You've got all these guys here. Darren Aronofsky's got The Wrestler out. Defiance was done by Edward Zwick.
Oh, yes.
There's just, there's some really, the top of the game directors putting all their films out now because of award season, of course.
Yeah.
But exciting time.
Especially someone like David... I mean, because Fight Club wasn't released in award... season, I wouldn't have thought.
I think this is probably his first film to get sort of award tipped, is it?
Heavily recognised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Pitt had got a nod for Tyler Durden.
Maybe. But a different sort of film. It's not, not very award friendly, is it?
First heavier weight film. Yeah. Although apparently Benjamin Button is on many levels just a repackaged Forrest Gump.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been backwards.
Yes.
Just rewind Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And you've seen it. Really.
More or less. Yeah. Which isn't necessarily something against it, but it's a thing.
Screenplays.
We've got Burn After Reading by the Coen brothers. Changeling by... Oh, I shouldn't have started reading this.
Yeah, good luck with this.
Yeah. See, Changeling by J. Michael Straczynski.
That's good.
I'm assuming. Yeah, that's close enough. I've Loved You So Long, Philip Claudel. In Bruges, Martin McDonagh. And Milk by Dustin Lance Black. Now, again, see, this is a hard one to judge, given that... actually, no, I've seen three of them. But I've Loved You So Long, I haven't seen, and nor have I seen Milk yet. And Milk can look good from the trailer, and I'm sure it's going to be very good, but you can't quite judge the screenplay. See, Burn After Reading, I'd like to win.
I'm surprised that's there, because didn't that get panned critically?
No, a little bit. It's a bit scattered. But as a screenplay, it's quite cool. But then In Bruges, because, I mean, Changeling is well put together, but I think In Bruges I liked as a screenplay. Because it nicely balances the comedy and the drama and the tragedy.
I think I'm going for In Bruges.
Yeah.
I think largely because Changeling I thought was very good as well. But it was one of those where you're watching it going, if this isn't a true story, this is just weird.
Mm.
At the end of it, you go, oh, it is a true story. Oh, fair enough. So as a result, it's kind of, much as it was brilliant screenplay, I'm feeling most of it was in the story already.
Yes.
So whereas In Bruges is a story that wasn't necessarily there, and the writer, I thought, found something very good to do with it.
Constructed it.
Adapted screenplay, though, then there's Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Revolutionary Road, and Slumdog Millionaire. Don't know, I'm tempted to go for Frost Nixon, actually.
See, I was musing on that. Yeah. Because it's going to be... Mind you, how adapted is it? I suppose it has to be adapted a bit.
Well, it's adapted largely from a play. Yeah. But again, just because the others, I don't know, don't quite strike home with me, really. I mean, Slumdog I've been going for so far, but again, I think most of that is for the direction, I think, rather than the script, I would say, probably, but I don't know. I'm going to go Frost Nixon.
Yeah, see, Slumdog Millionaire, the script, I mean, it's well put together, but I think, again, there are better films there. I'd say Frost Nixon or, at a complete guess, Revolutionary Road.
Oh, okay.
Because I get the feeling that's going to be quite harrowing in a suburban drama sort of way. In order to be as good as it is meant to be, it would have to have a fairly solid script.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's just going to be two people being a bit bored.
Two people on a house bored. House bored in a cinema watching two people bored. It's Big Brother, basically.
It is.
Film not in the English language, which is an odd way of saying best foreign film, but that's the way they choose to say it.
Well, no, because it could be made by British people.
It could be.
But in a foreign language.
It could be.
See, Slumdog Millionaire would qualify, well, that...
Yeah, I think it's good to So the choices here, Bader Meinhof Complex, Gomorrah, I've Loved You So Long, Persepolis, and Waltz with Bashir, which I think I'm going to have to go with Waltz with Bashir because it's the only one I've seen, which was very good, so I'll go with that one.
See, I've seen none of them, I'm sorry to say, but have heard of three or four of them. I'm going to go with Persepolis.
Okay.
Is that the film about an Iranian girl?
Yes. An animated feature, yeah.
Yeah, and that's meant to be extremely good, as is Walter Bashir, but I'm just trying to pick something different from what you've
Interesting that those two are both animated, the two animated films in best film, not English language, yeah. And best animated film, Persepolis comes back, as well as Walter Bashir, and also Wall-E.
Which is interesting compared, I'm getting a slight moment of British smugness, because I'm fairly sure the Golden Globe list was Wall-E, Bolt, and something else. I can't remember, but it was something else mainstream.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas the Brit ones have gone Wall-E, and then two really quite heavyweight
films
that happen to be animated.
None of that Madagascar 2 Escape from Africa and all that nonsense.
See, which actually makes the job harder. If it was Wall-E, Bolt, and another generic kiddie-ish one, then it would be Wall-E hands down. But against those, Wall-E I loved, but I don't think... I can't quite bring myself to say, it's better than those two serious heavyweight films about war. I can't quite bring myself to do it.
I can. I'm going to go for Wall-E.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen Wall-E Bashir, and good as it was, I'd rather see Wall-E again any day of the week.
Right. Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to say Waltz with Bashir, then, just to be different.
What about Wall-E with Bashir? I'd like to see that.
And a small robot trundling through war-torn cities.
Exactly, yes. I love the fact you were going to mention the country and thought, I don't know where it was.
I know.
Not a clue.
I can't remember.
Is it Syria? Jordan? No idea.
I can't remember exactly. So
I've seen the film, I can't remember. I think it was Syria.
I'll blur the lines.
Best leading actor, then. You got Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Dev Patel, Slumdog Millionaire, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. I'm going to guess you're going for The Wrestler.
Yes, I probably shouldn't. Well, I'd say The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke or Frank Langella. Probably Mickey Rourke, just because I thought it was extremely good, and also I think he's got a lot of goodwill behind him.
Yeah.
So even though the merits... I mean, he is extremely good, and I think he's on an equal footing or more than with everyone there. But if it is an equal footing, then it could go anyway. But I think he's got enough goodwill behind him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets it.
I've got to go for Mickey Rourke as well, actually, because Dev Patel, well done for being there. And,
yeah.
And you must be there going, I'm only like five. And look, there's Brad Pitt and he's a bloke off the telly and stuff. But Mickey Rourke, I would have to give it to, just because I can't see any... It's the only film role I can see him playing.
Oh, really?
Because, well, he's so good at it, because that is him, totally him.
Yes.
And so I'd love to see what Mickey Rourke's next film is going to be, because he's so deformed. Well, and he is, you know, he's got this pumped up body, this bizarre face pumped with plastic surgery, that I feel for the guy, and that his list of possible roles must be so limited.
True.
That I think, oh, give him the award for this one, because he's not going to do anything quite as good ever again, probably.
Yes. Well, I can't see him progressing into big character stuff.
Yeah.
Being a chameleon-esque, but I can see a few films being constructed around this sort of character.
Yes.
Not necessarily. They don't have to make a big deal about that.
Yeah,
he's quite so huge.
Yeah.
But sort of facially,
and he's great in it, so I've got to give it to him for that.
No, anyway. Very true. Actress-wise, we have Angelina Jolie in Changeling, Kristen Scott Thomas for I've Loved You So Long, Meryl Streep for Doubt, Kate Winslet for The Reader, and Kate Winslet for Revolutionary Road. I am going to say Kate Winslet.
Really?
And leave it there.
For a film.
For a film.
Yes, fair enough.
Because, also because...
the odds are in your favour.
Because she's English. No, also, I mean, it's deserved.
Yeah,
she's
well, she
not...
won the Golden Globe. She won for both of them, so...
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they've just wheeled in some out-of-work British actress. Oh, go on, give her an award.
Golden Globes for... What is it, was it The Reader? She was Best Supporting Actress, was that right?
Yes.
Yeah, which is odd, given that she doesn't support any other actress in The Reader, particularly.
True, but she does arguably support the actor.
Well, yes, but who's best actress in that film, then?
There doesn't have to be a best actress, necessarily.
Well, surely there does, doesn't
Why?
It? I heard that the Golden Globes, they do that because it's all political and they're trying to make sure you can win both things and all that.
Possibly. I wouldn't be surprised if it may just be different rules, and then the rule for the Golden Globes may be that the same person can't be nominated twice in the same category.
Could be. Yeah, maybe.
And given that, they had to make a call and say, all right, then we'll put her forward for this award.
Well, it's clearly for the BAFTAs. If you're in five brilliant films, the best leading actress could be Kate Winslet for this, Kate Winslet for that,
which
Kate Winslet for everything.
Which made for an extremely unexciting award ceremony. Except possibly for the producers of the film that she was in.
It'd be great to just see five different angles of the same face in the audience on the edge of her seat. I'd like to see Angelina Jolie win this, just so that she can forget Kate Winslet's name from off the podium.
Well, that is true.
That's what happened at the Golden Globes. Kate
only,
Winslet.
Only,
oh, what's
only,
her name again?
Only briefly, though.
Well, still.
It's not like she sort of forgot to mention. I'd like to mention the three other nominees. Ha ha ha! Actually, it was only three. Oh, anyway. I'm very tired.
Supporting actor.
We have Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder. We have Brendan Gleeson for In Bruges. Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt. Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight. And Brad Pitt for Burn After Reading. I hadn't seen that before. That surprised me. Yeah. I was thinking Brad Pitt, that's going to be Benjamin Button. Oh, it's Burn After Reading.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's a fun role.
Critically panned, surely.
It's not really... Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it was an award-winning role, but it is fun.
I'd love to see Robert Downey Jr. get it, because I'm pretty sure... Is that the one he blacks up in?
Yes.
Yeah,
Have you seen Tropic Thunder?
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
no,
you really
but,
should.
I'd be interested to know if you can, these days, get an award for blacking up in a film.
True.
So,
But people are focusing on that as if... I mean, it's a world away from the black and white minstrel era.
Yeah.
The whole point is he's meant to be a white actor who has
right.
gone this route, and everyone finds it slightly inappropriate.
Well, also, interestingly, Heath Ledger's there nominated, so he's nominated for Whiting Up. As
that
the
is
Joker.
True.
So
yeah.
there you go. So
Yes, I'm going to go Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, partly I think he deserves it of that list, although Philip Seymour Hoffman is almost certainly going to be phenomenal in Doubt. But I just want Heath Ledger to win.
I'm going for Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah.
He's British, I think.
Or I thought he's Irish.
Well, Irish, British. Yeah, he's one of them.
I think he's Irish.
He's this side of the planet, anyway.
Right.
So I'll go with him. And he's very good in Bruges as well.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actress.
He's
very good in Bruges as well.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress. We have Amy Adams for Doubt, Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristie Barcelona, Freda Pinto for Slumdog Millionaire, Tilda Swinton for Burn After Reading, and Marisa Tomei for The Wrestler. Tilda Swinton, again, Burn After Reading, slightly weird.
Yeah, I reckon Country with Old Men for Old Men last year.
Yeah.
So I reckon the critics are going, oh, well, their latest film must be a wonderful follow-up to it. And so they're giving all these awards out for it, and then going, actually, it's not quite an award film, is it, really?
It's not an award film, but I can see why the performance... It's a bit... I mean, it's lower down the scale than Slumdog Millionaire, but I can.
Yeah.
The arguments to be levied against it are the same that I would put against Slumdog Millionaire when it comes to awards. Namely that it's a very good, enjoyable film. It's well made, but the film as a whole didn't blow me away. But you can pick out individual bits and say, that was extremely good, and that was extremely good.
Yes.
And so I can see... I'm surprised it's getting this many nods, but I can kind of see where they're coming from.
What are you going for? I'm going for Marisa Tomei.
Well, yeah, see, I probably would.
Marisa Tomei to you, the Chuckle Brothers
oh dear.
Name. Because in The Wrestler, she's for a start, she's very... I almost didn't recognise her as herself.
I did.
Because
Is it because you were looking somewhere else?
She's a very, very convincing lap dancer. She's very bendy. She's very good. Well done her.
Yes.
Well done.
And also, I mean, you know, without trying to be too lewd about it, but well done her for being a very high-level actress who hasn't really... I mean, she's not made a career. She's not like one of the Sharon Stones who is always naked in every film. Yeah. She's not really made a career out of stripping off. And yet, in The Wrestler, she just threw herself into the role. Like, I'm playing a stripper. Right, off come the clothes. Here we go.
When at the end of the film, I thought, I do recognise her. But the way she'd done it, I thought... That must be someone who is a lap dancer or has been a lap dancer. And then the credits come up and I thought, no, it's her. Wow.
Oh, so you didn't know it was her before?
No, I didn't know. Farida Pinto, I thought, was wonderful in Slumdog Millionaire, but I think that's more because she's just beautiful. And so she'd win for best model, but yes. Best actress, I think, you know, she just had a very good face.
I don't think she had all that much to do in Slumdog.
Well, she didn't have much to do, actually. She was only the last third, really. So,
well, yeah. But, I'm going to go Marisa Tomei. I'd kind of like to see Amy Adams win.
Well, I was going to say her as well, because she's done so many different films.
Yes.
And she's been, you know, your Disney-fied princess, and now she's here as this very troubled nun.
Well, I know this has occurred to me in the past. I won't make a big deal about it now, because we've got other stuff to do. But wondering about the next generation of actors, because we know, I mean, people like the Robert De Niro's and also the Brad Pitts are well established. Brad Pitt is over 40 now.
Yeah.
And then, so you've got people who are sort of our age, 30-ish, I mean, Tobey Maguire, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But yet to quite necessarily make a mark, but they're, I mean, in high-level terms, but they're still progressing. But I don't know who's coming in at the bottom end and sort of pushing up and who's making good. And I think Amy Adams is going to be one of those people. And also, like James Franco, I think will end up surprising people.
One to watch.
But it'd be nice to see Amy Adams win an Oscar or win a BAFTA after... Sort of dancing around in a Disney-esque film in a big blue dress, and then she goes into doubt.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. Bad news, I'm afraid.
Yes.
Best music, there is no Elfman.
No, I know. I can't think what he did this year. I think he has been Oscar nominated. I can't think for what. Possibly for Batman, but yes.
You've got Benjamin Button, which is by Alexandre Desplat.
That's a brilliant name.
The Dark Knight, Hans Zimmer, James Newton Howard. Mamma Mia, which is ABBA, basically. Slumdog Millionaire, A.R. Rahman, and Wally, which is Thomas Newman. So, I don't really know. Actually, I did enjoy the music in Slumdog Millionaire, but I don't know if that would really get it or not.
See, Thomas Newman is prone to good things. Did American Beauty, off the top of my head, among others. But I can't really remember the music from Wally. Whereas the Dark Knight score, I loved.
I can't bring myself to vote for ABBA. You know, it's like 30 years ago now. I'm going for Desplat.
Fair enough.
Just for the name, Benjamin Button, Desplat.
Okay, well, we'll move on to cinematography. See, and this is where we get into the areas that I always find it a bit hard to judge.
Yeah.
Because I'm not entirely sure.
It's kind of guesswork from here on in, isn't
it? Yes,
really?
I mean, cinematography, I'm aware it's the look of the film.
Yeah.
But in terms of really picking out the good and the bad bits, it's a tricky one. You've got Changeling, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
It's the same five films, generally.
It is. There's a pattern appearing. Now, again, Slumdog Millionaire could win that legitimately, I think, because it is a gorgeous-looking film. As it's been criticised for, even when you're looking at the slums, you're thinking, I'd like to live in those slums. Look at the gorgeousness of those slums. But again, Benjamin Button is probably going to be very well executed as well.
I'd like The Dark Knight to win just because it's the cinematographer's called Wally Pfister. I'd love him to be up against Wally as well. That'd be great.
That's true.
But that's not the case. I'd go for The Dark Knight. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. Why not? Hazard a guess. Editing. See, now this is slightly more my area, given number of mistakes in things. But we have Changeling, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, In Bruges, and Slumdog Millionaire, because there was a tie. So there are six nominations. So I feel I should be reading the names at the same time.
No need.
Can look up the names. It's fine. See, now, Dark Knight has got lots of mistakes, so I can't really give that an interesting award.
Do you know which of these got the least amount of mistakes in?
Not off the top of my head, unfortunately. I should have checked. It didn't occur to me. Slumdog Millionaire is probably, I think, well edited, because it's a lot of cutting backwards and forwards, and keeping keeping that consistent helps. Changeling has a couple of different weaves. I'm going to go Slumdog Millionaire, because I don't think I've voted for Slumdog yet.
I'm going for Frost Nixon, actually, only because I've only seen the trailer, but for some reason the trailer drew me in. I thought, you know, the quick cuts, the editing with that. So just on the editing of the trailer alone, I'm going for Frost Nixon. Yeah.
Which is ironic, given that was almost certainly edited by someone else entirely.
I know, but doesn't matter.
Such is life. So now, production design. Now here you really start losing me. Is this the set? Is this the look of the set? Is this the general appearance of someone who sets the visual tone of the film?
I'm going for Slumdog then in that case, because it made India look pretty. They designed India well.
Right, no, I'm going Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
Just because it's lots of gadgets and I'm a geek.
Costume. Revolutionary Road. I'm just going to pick one now.
You're losing interest.
I'm just
going to
pick one. I ain't got a clue. You know, forget reading them all out. I'm just going to pick Revolutionary Road. In fact, it's definitely going to win. Well done.
Fair enough. No, I'm going to say The Duchess, because it's the first time it's appeared.
That's
in
true.
This
yeah,
and also, it's the only costume drama, really. I mean, Changeling sort of qualifies, but The Duchess I can see that pulling it off.
Best sound has got to be Slumdog Millionaire. There you go.
why are you suddenly racing through these? Are you lost interest?
Well, part of thinking, you know, we've got Oscars to do as well. True. And also, at this stage, I mean, we could have a 10-minute discussion about which film had the best sound, but
yeah, that's
not really my area, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, sound, I'm going to go Quantum of Solace, just Quantum to annoy Solace. You.
Oh, I knew you would. well, there you go. This is more something you like. Special visual effects. Now, I think Benjamin Button, probably, because the effect of transforming Brad Pitt is pretty good, isn't it?
Although, see, I tend to think visual effects in terms of being computer effects rather than practical effects, and I think Benjamin Button is probably more practical stuff, just in makeup terms. Indiana Jones shouldn't be on that list, because the effects were awful.
They were.
I'm going to say Iron Man, actually.
Okay.
Dark Knight was very good, but I know Christopher Nolan doesn't really like using CGI unless it's absolutely necessary. And so I think lots of it was just really actually done.
Oh, fair play.
So Iron Man, I'd go for.
Makeup and hair. Now we're really
going. Yeah, we're really getting out of our areas.
I'm going to go for Benjamin Button again. Then,
because I'm going to go the Duchess again.
They made him up well, didn't they?
Short animation. Now this is going to be. It's not entirely good.
I've seen one of them.
Yeah, you've got Codswallop, Varmints, and Wallace and Gromit: A Matter of Loaf and Death. I'm going to go Wallace and Gromit because I've not heard of the other two.
Yeah, I've seen Wallace and Gromit,
and I'm sure everyone
loves Wallace and Gromit, don't they? Really?
Exactly. I'm sure the other two are well made, but I haven't heard.
And
of
I believe it's Nick Park's 50th this year, so they might give it to him.
Oh, really?
Short film. Kingsland Number One, The Dreamer, Love You More, Ralph, September, and Voyage d'Affaires, The Business Trip. I don't care, actually, no. I think, at this stage. I'm sure. And if any people are listening to this who have made any of these films,
I'd be surprised, then, it has to be said.
Then, you know, get a proper job.
Oh, now that's hard. That's really harsh.
Sorry. Well, oh, actually, I've heard something. I'm going to go for Love You More, because that's by Anthony Minghella, who's unfortunately passed away this year, which most of you might get it. Sam Taylor Woods, who's an artist, and Patrick Marber, who was on the day today, and playwright. So I'm going to go for Love You More.
I'm going to go for Voyage d'Affaires, because it sounds vaguely exotic.
It does. Business Trip. That's not that exotic, is it?
Well, true. I know, but that's why the French always sounds more impressive.
I'm going to look up later and see where this trip is to. It's probably Ipswich or something like that. The final category is the Orange Rising Star Award, which is a bit more interesting.
So and this sort of covers what I was saying about Amy Adams.
Exactly. So these are five actors who are on the cusp. And you've got Michael Cera, Noel Clarke, Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Hall, and Toby Kebbell. Noel Clarke, he was in Kidulthood and Adulthood, and he was in Doctor Who as well, as Billy Piper's other half.
Oh, yes.
And Rebecca Hall was in Starter for 10. She's also in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. So I'm going to go for Rebecca Hall, because she's always actually been very good in the films I've seen her in. So I'm going to go with her.
Fair enough. Well, I am sorry. I'm going to take the easy way out and choose Michael Cera.
He's good in Arrested Development.
Very true. Yeah. And also in Juno. Right.
Right.
BAFTA's done.
BAFTA's done. Onto the Oscars.
Onto the Oscars.
Onto the secondary of the awards. You know, BAFTA's obviously.
The lesser.
So we've got the list here, and we'll just have a quick skim through. Best performance by an actor in a leading role. In other words, best actor to you and me. Richard Jenkins in The Visitor, Frank Langella in Frost Nixon, Sean Penn in Milk, Brad Pitt in Benjamin Button, Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. I'm going for The Wrestler again, Mickey Rourke.
I am as well. See, yeah. The Visitor, I know very little about.
Never heard of it.
See, I have heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what it was about.
Yeah.
I've seen the title somewhere.
Actually, I do know. It's about immigration, and it's clearly Oscar-worthy.
Well, true.
Well done there.
But, yeah, Mickey Rourke, I think, is, again, but yeah, he's slightly different from the other ones.
Yeah, supporting actor, you got Josh Brolin in Milk, Robert Downey Jr., Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt, Heath Ledger, Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon in Revolutionary Road.
So, yeah, I'm glad Heath Ledger's in there, yeah. I think. I'm not really expecting him to win, but I'm glad he's in
there.
I
think he will. I'm going to go with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think... Yes, I mean, I think he probably deserves it, but whether or not people will actually go for it or not, I'm not sure. See, Thomas Newman is prone to good things, did American Beauty, off the top of my head, among others, but I can't really remember the music from Wally, whereas the Dark Knight score, I loved.
I can't bring myself to vote for ABBA. You know, it's like 30 well, years ago now. I'm going for Desplat.
Fair enough.
Just for the name, Benjamin Button, Desplat.
Okay, well, we'll move on to cinematography. See, and this is where we get into the areas that I always find is a bit hard to judge.
Yeah.
Because I'm not entirely sure.
It's kind
sure.
of guesswork from here on in,
yes.
Isn't it,
really? I mean, cinematography, I'm aware it's the look of the film.
Yeah.
But in terms of really picking out the good and the bad bits, it's a tricky one. You've got Changeling, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
It's the same five films, generally.
It is. There's a pattern appearing. Now, again, Slumdog Millionaire could win that legitimately, I think, because it is a gorgeous looking film. As it's been criticised for, even when you're looking at the slums, you're thinking, I'd like to live in those slums. Look at the gorgeousness of those slums. Yeah. But again, Benjamin Button is probably going to be very well executed as well.
Yeah. I haven't seen her as sort of an Oscar performer yet, really.
No, I can see the potential.
This might be a, you know, a step towards it, but I would be surprised if she gets it straight away. Particularly, you know,
her... on that front, I'm going to go Meryl Streep.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I think the Oscar people love her.
I'll stick with Winslet, but I having looked at it again, actually, you know, they're not going to go for a Brit over Americans, are they? Really?
Probably not. Well, they sometimes have, but not always.
I don't know.
Frozen River again, a film I can't place at all.
We'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Supporting actress Amy Adams in Doubt again, Penelope Cruz, Marissa Tomei, that's all that's before, and then additionally this time Viola Davis in Doubt, and
Taraji P. Henson,
that's the fella
I'm guessing, in Benjamin Button.
So
again, having not seen it yet, I don't know who she plays, but I'm sure she's very good.
I reckon she plays the old version of Brad Pitt.
Interesting.
There's all this stuff about him, he's playing all of them, he's not.
He's no, he's not.
He just sort of looks really old.
Yeah. And, just a woman in makeup.
I'm going to go for Marissa Tomei again.
Possibly. I'm surprised Penelope Cruz is in there. Again, for as you know, but you see, it's an interesting role from the trailer anyway, because again, not out over here.
Does she play Vicky, Christina, or Barcelona?
I think she actually plays... is it Marilena?
That's not in the title. That's a different film, sure.
She plays Javier Bardem, his passionate wife, ex-wife, who stabbed him.
So she plays Javier Bardem. That
would be a trick.
Who are you going for?
Not Marisa Tomei. I don't know. I'm going to say... But that'd be Cruz. I'm just going to mix
it
up.
Go for it.
Yeah. See, our best animated feature film. This, I'm pleased, because...
This I think, that justifies doing this podcast, BAFTAs and Oscars, because you can compare and contrast.
Yes.
Best animated feature film for the Oscars, you've got Bolt, Kung Fu Panda, and Wall-E. And we hadn't looked at this list. We did not know when we mocked earlier the American shortlist that it was bound to have just some kind of
family-friendly, generic
fare. And sure enough, Kung Fu Panda.
I say generic. I'm sure. No, see, Kung Fu Panda is apparently. I've not seen it. I played the game, which was disappointing. But the film, it surprised people, I think, in that it was quite good. But I don't think it should be Oscar fair.
But is it Persepolis and Waltz with Bashir? That's what we really
I really don't think so.
I really do hope that some kids went to see Persepolis and Waltz with Bashir thinking, it's half term and it must be a cartoon, must be fun.
And came away shaking in terror.
You learned things about Syria.
Well, on that list, it's got to be Wally. Of course it is.
Achievement in art direction. Changeling, Benjamin Button. Someone logging in.
professionalism.
Ah, yes. The Dark Knight, The Duchess, and Revolutionary Road.
I'm going to go Duchess.
Which is the most arty? That's the thing.
That's the thing. I reckon
like
The Duchess
it's got
is.
Art direction in it. Do they even have art directors nowadays? I don't know. They probably do.
They must do. Well, all of those people who are nominated, surely.
I suppose they have. I'm going to go The Duchess. No reason. It's the fourth on the list. It's not at that stage. I don't know.
You're not committing to this.
I don't know. Well, how can I tell which is the best?
No, but you don't. But you need to say a name and then move on. You don't just say, "Oh, I'm just going to guess."
Which film's got the most colours in it? That's what I'm going to think.
And likewise, cinematography.
It's going to be a random guessing, isn't it?
It is. We've got Changeling, Benjamin Button, Dark Knight, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire, which I think, from memory, may be almost exactly the same as the BAFTAs.
We're meant to be informed film critics.
I'm going to go Slumdog Millionaire. I think due to the general, the balance and structure of it. It worked for me.
Yes, I'm going to go for... Actually, I'm going to go for The Dark Knight, because I did go for that for the BAFTAs, and it would be a bit churlish to change my vote
just
for the Oscars.
I'm playing the odds.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to go for The Dark Knight. Now, you've got Best Achievement in Costume Design. So there's Australia, Benjamin Button, The Duchess, Milk, and Revolutionary Road.
Now, surely Milk is just pulling a few 70s suits out of your wardrobe, throwing them on screen. See, Australia is an unusual one in there.
It's got to be The Duchess, isn't it, really?
I'd say so.
That's got older clothes.
Yeah, that's the big...
Less easy to find.
It's the big flowery version.
Best Director. Curious case of Benjamin Button for David Fincher. Ron Howard's Frost Nixon. Gus Van Sant's Milk. Oh, dear. That sounds rather tepid. Stephen Daldry's The Reader.
But also nutritious.
Well, exactly. I wouldn't want to sample Gus Van Sant's Milk, to be honest.
I hear it's very good.
Is that right, really?
Homophobe. And Slumdog Millionaire. Let's push on to the end of
it. Well done. Well done.
Before we get too derailed.
Best director of that lot, I'm going to go for Danny Boyle.
Yeah, likewise.
He's going to get fun. Best documentary.
Oh, excellent.
There's only one I've heard of in here, so we'll put up to for that one.
Yep, true.
The Betrayal, Encounters at the End of the World, The Garden, Man on Wire, and Trouble the Water, which sounds like I would never go and see it in a million years. I've got to go for Man on Wire because I've heard of it.
Yeah, likewise. Anything else would be a pure shot in the dark.
I'm going to change and go to Encounters at the End of the World. It's directed by Werner Herzog, who's
a
mad genius.
He's a nutcase.
Werner Herzog. Because I want to see him accept an award. That would get back to the old days of the Oscars. Yeah, so Werner Herzog would be hilarious. Best documentary short subject.
See, again, this is something we're well informed on.
Exactly. This is my area. I'm glad we got to this bit. This is what I've been building up to for the last umpteen podcasts. The Conscience of Nihim Ian.
That sounds like, yeah, that is actually what the words say.
Yeah, The Conscience of Nihim Ian. The Final Inch, Smile Pinky, and The Witness from the Balcony of Room 306.
The four of those titles almost spell out a story that's quite disturbing. It's all about The Conscience of Nemen, and then, oh, The Final Inch, Smile, Pinky, and then The Witness. So well, we saw what happened. We saw what made Pinky smile from exactly, the balcony of Room 306.
What documentary shorts are all about, you know, they're only about 5 minutes. So you piece them together, you've got them filled with proper film. There you are.
Well, a proper 20-minute-long film.
Exactly. Excellent. Yes, yeah. They do say you can watch a series of 24 by just getting all the previous done 24 bits, stitching them together.
Yeah, that makes
lost
sense.
About an hour. There you go. That's all you need to know. So there you are. I'm going to go for The Conscience of Nihim Ian.
Oh, yes, I didn't actually pick one. I'm going to say Smile Pinky because it just amuses me as a title. Achievement in film editing. We have Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, Frost Nixon, Milk, and Slumdog Millionaire. Again, I think I went Slumdog Millionaire
before. Yeah, I'm going
before.
For Millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best foreign language film, The Baader-Meinhof Complex, The Class, Departures, Revanche. What that means, and Waltz with Bashir.
Got to be Waltz with Bashir because again, it's the only one I know.
I'm going with The Class because I heard something about it. And
really?
I don't quite
you
know
sure
what.
It wasn't the sitcom that lasted for almost a complete series?
Could be why I've heard about it. That, yeah. That could be it.
That was quite good.
It was the follow-up to Friends.
It was. It was unfortunately taken from us too soon.
I'm going to go for The Class. I don't. Okay. I don't know. It's a gut feeling.
I'm sticking with Waltz with Bashir. Achieving in makeup.
I'm going for Benny B.
Benny B.
Yeah, Benjamin Button.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm calling it now. It's far too long. To
Yeah, but I'd also like to throw something out to Hellboy 2 because it's visually amazing. But I'm hoping that it may be in visual effects because I've not seen this list yet. So maybe not.
Okay, achievement in music. Written for motion pictures, original score. Desplat, who I went for earlier, so I'll go as Desplat, I think. There's also Defiance, James Newton Howard. That wasn't in the last one. And Elfman!
Hey!
Elfman's there!
My friend, Danny Elfman.
For Milk.
He's not actually my friend, I should hasten to add, but I just love his work.
Would you like Danny Elfman's Milk?
I would lap up Danny Elfman's Milk.
Would you really?
With gay abandon.
Oh, dear.
Unfortunate turn of phrase, but I'm sticking with it.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
No, I'm thoroughly looking forward to seeing Milk for not just for that reason, but because it's a Danny Elfman score.
Indeed. So are you going to go? I presume you're going to go for the Elfman.
I am. I'm all about the Elfman.
Why wouldn't you? Now I was like this. This is a best song. That's always fun. It's Down to Earth from Wally. There's Jai Ho from Slumdog Millionaire, and there's Osea from Slumdog Millionaire. I did enjoy the music from Slumdog Millionaire, so I'll go one of those.
Yeah, that's quite unusual. I can't remember best song being having two from the same film.
Yeah, well, it's
normally
two,
they're quite
two-thirds
scattered.
Of the chance is that it'll be
Plus,
Slumdog Millionaire.
Are you sure that list is complete?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure there are normally more songs, and I would have thought that Bruce Springsteen's song from The Wrestler would have made the cut.
He did that for free, you know.
Yeah, well, I think everyone did that
pretty
for
much,
free.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know which the two songs are. If one of them is the one over the end credits, I'd go with that, because that's it's a good and fun and weird
ending.
Oh, that's
true, that one. I'm going to go for the first one,
okay,
because that's got lyrics by Gulzar, and I don't know who that is, but okay. It sounds quite good.
And I'll go for Osaya, because it's lyrics by someone whose surname I really am not even going to attempt to pronounce.
But it's got the end of it is orgasm, isn't it?
That it was. It's ragasm.
Oh, it's close
enough. It's nearly an orgasm.
It's nearly an orgasm.
It's a slightly disappointing experience.
It's like a sneeze.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no Lord of the Rings films this year, so disappointingly, there'll be no Enya performances at this year's Oscars. So, we've got now come to the best film category, I believe. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. I'd like to think it was Slumdog Millionaire, but I think at the Oscars, I don't know if it will be.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Milk, because it's a bit of American history.
True. I'm going to stick with Slumdog, you know.
Really?
I've got a gut feeling about it. I'm going to go for Slumdog.
I'm going to go Milk.
You're going to go Milk?
Yes.
You're going to go Milk, are you?
Yeah, got Milk. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to go for Milk. It's a bit of American history. I think it may swing people.
Screenplays. Now, they're always a bit different, these ones.
Yeah, now Wally doesn't belong on the best screenplay list because I don't think so because there's
because
not enough dialogue.
There's not, I realize there's not many words in it.
I realize the whole thing has to be scripted and written,
of course,
and spelled out. But best original screenplay implies lots of words.
Should contain more words.
Well, yes. And so I'm going to go Happy Go Lucky just in case.
Ah, fair enough. That's
play,
a good,
play
good
the
idea.
British
might
flag.
Leave. Very nice indeed. Yeah. I'm going to go for Frozen River because it's one of my favourite films of
the next 12 months. Right.
While you're lapping up Milk, I'm lapping up a Frozen River.
Fair
that's
enough.
What I'm doing.
I'd rather stick with Milk.
There you go. That's BAFTAs and Oscars. Good luck, everybody. I know you're all listening.
Yes.
You've got the movie
banter. Good luck, Kate.
See
you
approval. So for Desert Island Flicks this week, just see whatever we said were good films.
Yeah,
there
because
you go.
Paul is desperate to have Desert Island
You've
Flicks.
You've got to cram her in.
I maintain this podcast is long enough at the moment,
it
and we've
long.
Droned on enough.
Yeah, well, it will be. Well, I'll cut out all your bits and I'll trim it down.
Charming.
So, by which I just mean your words, don't mean
yes,
your...
please don't trim off my bits.
Cut out your bits.
I need some
while
bits.
You go and lap up Gus Van Sant's milk.
Danny Elfman's milk.
Danny Elfman's milk, sorry.
Not Gus Van Sant's milk.
Sorry.
It's a definite, slightly acrid taste.
Gus Van Sant's is skimmed. So, I wish I was doing a pub quiz tonight, because I'd call my team name Gus Van Sant's is skimmed.
I'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Do tell your friends to listen to us if they really can't sleep.
True.
And we'll lull them into a sense of unconsciousness.
Possibly.
But till next time, we'll be back in a future episode with normal stuff, film reviews and the like. And
once award season excitement has died.
Indeed.
Out.
So we'll see you then.
Farewell.